Get Pucked.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Get Pucked podcast. Vito and Matt here. August edition. Dave's still on his paternity leave, but he'll be back soon, I hope. That said, there is Habs-related content in the month of August. This is wonderful stuff, and it's actually not some little flivorous nothing. This is a significant portion of a blockbuster deal involving none other than Erik Karlsson. So Erik Karlsson has been rumored to have been on his way out of San Jose for pretty much the entirety of the offseason, and it looks like that finally happened. So if you've been living under a rock, you might not know the details. I'm sure that most of you do, but for the one or two that might not, here's the rundown very quickly. It was a three-way trade with Pittsburgh, San Jose, and the Canadiens. So just quickly telling you what every team ultimately ended up with. We have the Penguins are getting Erik Karlsson with 13% of his salary retained in San Jose. They're getting a 2026 third-round pick, as well as Dylan Hamaliuk. Probably pronouncing that wrong, but is what it is. And if I'm not mistaken, they also got Rem Pitlick. San Jose is getting Michael Granlund, Mike Hoffman, which we'll come back to and talk about in a moment, Jan Ruta, and a 2024 first-round pick from Pittsburgh. And the Montreal Canadiens are getting Casey DeSmith, Jeff Petrie coming back with 25% of his salary retained in Pittsburgh, AHLer Nathan Legarrier, and 2025 second-round pick from Pittsburgh.
One detail, important detail, is that first-round pick is top 10 protected.
Top 10 protected. That is true. So let me just fix the camera fast. There we are. Yes, but sparing all the details of the actual analysis of the trade, which there is many, 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 many other sources that you can go to that'll be much better off to analyze and break down that as it pertains to the other teams, we're going to focus on the Canadiens. So let's talk about what they got in terms of facilitating this trade. First and foremost, something that obviously is worth mentioning, Mike Hoffman is no longer a Hab, and it didn't cost anything to retain, to move him, which I think in and of itself is a minor miracle. We've been talking about this for some time, what it would take to move him. Is going to go down the trade deadline. You'd have to probably hold something back to a team that maybe wants to bolster their offense or their bottom six at this point even. Nothing. Zero. He is gone.
Which I wouldn't put that as something minor. That's major in my opinion. Because we were talking about
a minor miracle. Yeah. Still a miracle nonetheless.
Yeah, nonetheless. But either way, like when we were talking about moving Hoffman throughout the entire year, we always said, okay, you know, at the beginning of the season, it's like, if he puts up his usual numbers, it should be easy to move him, given that he only had like an additional year on his contract and he could be serviceable. As the season went on, we were like, okay, we might have to give something a little more. And we were talking about, okay, throw Hoffman in there with a fifth round pick. That fifth round eventually became a fourth round. Then it became a third round. Next, we were talking about Mike Hoffman, a C type prospect and a pick to get rid of him. And in the end, they got rid of him for nothing. They didn't have to retain anything. They didn't have to give up anything in addition to him. They threw in Rem Pitlick, who by all accounts needed a change of scenery or at least another chance.
Well, yeah, he's like 14th forward on the team, which is too bad. I happen to like Rem Pitlick, but obviously with the talent that's coming up with the youngsters, he kind of lost his spot as like maybe the 12th guy.
He lost it to RHB.
You still got Pezzetta. Would you want Pezzetta or you want Pitlick on the team?
If you had to we have other players that can do what Pitlick can. Being an agitator, a pest, or a guy who's a bona fide, we know you're like a fourth line player who can just, you know what you're getting with Pezzetta. I think that's what Montreal probably leaned on versus, you know, keeping Rem Pitlick, where you have other speedy forwards who can pot a couple of goals here and there. And that's why I think if you're going to look at who replaced Rem Pitlick, look at the contract. I'm going to bring it up again. It's RHB. He signed the Rem Pitlick contract.
Which, let's all be clear, obviously RHB
is
the better player. Yeah. The fact that they got Hoffman gone, and again, having to lose Pitlick also, not the end of the world. It's unfortunate. I think he actually just got engaged too, like a day or two before it happened. So it's funny how these things happen.
It's a nice engagement gift.
So he goes to Pittsburgh. Now we talk about a couple of other interesting things that would have happened, right? We wouldn't have never expected that we'd be talking about a trade that ultimately ends up with Hoffman leaving the team and we received assets back. I think this is like something that's blowing everybody's mind. And again, most people, I would imagine, there's always some dejectors out there that are going to say something, but most people are looking at this as an absolute grand slam of a trade for Kent Hughes. So he brings in Casey DeSmith, right? Now, Casey DeSmith's underlying numbers are actually not bad. This is not a bad goalie, right? He has pretty much been the quintessential backup in Pittsburgh, and they've had a lot of Tristan Jarry got hurt for a long period of time, and so I was gonna say that
Casey DeSmith, while he was the quote-unquote backup, because Tristan Jarry's been getting hurt so often,
he's played a lot. Now look at the team in front of him. Okay, now Pittsburgh obviously didn't make the playoffs last season, which was the first time in a long time, but realistically they have some good players that are up there. The defense is starting to Now with Erik Karlsson, we can make another debate about that. But frankly, this is a very offensive defenseman, so the defensive aspect of their defense is still not super great. But I digress. Casey DeSmith is not a 1A goalie.
No.
I don't think so. I think we can all agree that he's not a 1A goalie. Now, that said, could we also say the same about Montembeau and Allen at this point? Are they all not 1As?
Montreal doesn't have a bona fide number one goalie, but I've said this in the past that when you look throughout the NHL, there's maybe about five, if you want to call them, elite number one goalies, and then there's a huge drop off. So there's a lot of goaltenders out there that are listed as number ones for their team, but are really, in my opinion, more of a backup goalie. You know, we're in a weird era when it comes to goaltending right now. But when you look at Montreal's goaltending situation, now with Casey DeSmith being there, you're looking, it's like they're going to play by committee. And I think Montreal is going to keep three goaltenders. I think they're going to carry three goaltenders, at least for the foreseeable future. And then they're going to see what's going to happen there. And I think Casey DeSmith brings a little bit of a safety net in case Primo does get claimed on waivers once they send them down, because they're not going to send down Montembeau. They're not going to send down Allen. And it's like, what are you going to do with Primo at that point, right? So if Primo doesn't make it to the team right out of camp and doesn't like wow everybody, then he's going to go through waivers. And I do believe a team's going to claim him. So if they lose him, then what happens? At least you can
let me ask you this. What are you talking making the team out of camp? You think he has a possibility of taking the spot of Montembeau or Allen?
If Primo comes out all of a sudden, he's stellar. They're going to make space for him. And because the Montreal's got the goalies that they have, other than Allen, have very digestible contracts, they can be moved. They can be moved. But do I think Primo's gonna come out of camp
no.
as being a team? No, I don't. But there's all, you know, anything's possible. So I'm saying if, right? And if they do lose him, then they still have depth on the goaltending ranks. They're not screwed at that point.
Well, let me ask you this now, right? So the fact that DeSmith comes in and Jeff Petrie back to, I'll bottle it together in the same sort of question. Do you believe that either of those guys will wear a Habs jersey? Well, Jeff Petrie again and Casey DeSmith, or could both those guys be flipped again before the start of the season, where the roster really hasn't changed? Kent Hughes made room now for his young guys to come up and ascend and take a spot. And he used the assets he got back in facilitating to get more, perhaps, draft capital or something else. Or do you really think that they're going to play?
I'll say this. I think Jeff Petrie has the best chance of being moved before the season starts, mainly because there's teams out there that still are looking for a right-handed defenseman or looking for a defenseman, period. As for Casey DeSmith, I think he's going to be wearing a Habs jersey. And the reason for that is because if you saw during the offseason, all the teams pretty much addressed their goaltending situation. So there's not many spots available out there for Casey DeSmith for now. But, you know, it's happened where in preseason or at the start of the season, injuries happen and they happen to be long-term. And it's the teams that, you know, typically don't want to lose ground in the standings right off the bat. So do I think it's possible Casey DeSmith could be moved at the start of the season? Yeah, but I think he's likely to wear a Habs jersey.
Is it more likely the Smith move or Allen?
Well, and I was going to bring that up, so I'm happy you did. I think there's a chance. The only reason why it might hurt, why it might not happen, is because Allen is a leader in the, on the roster, and he's his cap hits a little high for what he brings to the team now, and it's for 2 years. Right? So, do I think that if they move Allen and decide to keep Montembeau and the Smith, it's a bad play? No, I don't think it's a bad play. In fact, it kind of makes sense when you think, look at Allen's age and his cap and whatnot, and maybe he wants another chance at the on a contending team. But I just don't think any of the goaltenders are going to move. Anyway, the ones with a cap of 1.1 million and up are going to move now. It'd be closer to the deadline that you might see them move. But Jeff Petrie, like I said, there are teams that might be looking to bolster their defense just before the season starts.
Yeah, let's talk Jeff Petrie for a second. I mean, I knew the moment I heard about this that there was going to be a pretty visceral reaction amongst the fans. So
I love it. I'm going to like it. I love
it. It's interesting how people are very much, what's the way? It's like, what have you done for me lately? Right? Very short memory for the most part. So bear in mind, right, some facts that perhaps some people forgot. Jeff Petrie played for the Montreal Canadiens for 8 years. 8 years. That is a long time. And throughout the entirety of that 8 years, just about right up until towards the end, this guy was stalwart. He was good. He was a good defenseman. He was a point producer. He was liked by the team. He was pretty decent on an abysmal power play that's been the entire time he's been here. But when he was around, he was good.
He was miscast.
He was terribly miscast for a lot of time. But then he elevated his game when Shea Weber went down. And you were like, oh my God, what is this Jeff Petrie? And so there was a lot of good. Now, I'm not going to take away from the fact that there was a considerable amount of bad towards the end. Besides,
well,
the
not
fact
really.
That his on-ice wasn't good. Hold on a second. His on-ice wasn't great. You had countless times that people were pointing out the fact that on a power play, for example, he would like almost purposely not pass to Caulfield. It was comical. And then, of course, the more pressing issue in his own personal life was the very obvious and very public his family situation. They didn't want to be in Montreal anymore. They wanted to go back to the States. And that's everybody's own opinion. That's like,
well, and to be fair, the pandemic had to play on that too.
The pandemic had to play, but the pandemic had to play for everybody. All right. So I understand the pandemic kind of maybe was the straw that broke the camel's back in this instance, but it's a reality. His wife, him, they wanted to move on, and a trade was facilitated to make that happen. Now, since that trade happened, let's bear in mind, what did he do in Pittsburgh? Now, a lot of people are pointing to the fact that in Pittsburgh, he was a ghost. He was terrible. He wasn't terrible. He was not good. He was not the Jeff Petrie of the playoff run that the Habs had a couple of years back. But he wasn't terrible.
He was on a 42-point pace.
Yes. It's Pittsburgh. Important to know this.
Yeah. I think the problem is that people expect that once he got there, and if he would have ended up on a power play, with Crosby, Malkin, and them, and Gensel, that he would have gone from 42 points to maybe 60 points. But that didn't happen because there was always Letang there. So how are you going to make that happen? He ended up being playing more on the second power play and whatnot. But I want to put up another stat, okay? Let me bring up something. Petrie, most of his bad play when he was with the Habs in his final season was under Ducharme. And the numbers on that was like he had 6 points in 38 games. Okay, and then when St. Louis got there, let me look it up for a second. Under St. Louis, he had 21 points in 30 games, so he was starting to find his game again under St. Louis, right? And if I recall, it was pretty obvious, and he was pretty transparent on the fact. And there were some comments said while he was under Ducharme, like the way the quote unquote coaching style is that it was hindering some of the play that they wanted to do, right? So Jeff Petrie, his last season with the Montreal Canadiens, was only bad when it was under a certain coach. Now, even with St. Louis, you have to figure out a new coaching style, how it's all working out. But he was starting to produce offensively. He was struggling a little bit too. But you saw that it was starting to open up for him. And then he got moved. And we got a fantastic package. for Jeff Petrie. So what I want to call this is Jeff Petrie is the gift that keeps on giving. The Montreal Canadiens acquired him way back when, 8 years ago, for a second and a fourth. We had several great seasons with Jeff Petrie on the Montreal Canadiens, who was miscast several times. Had to become a number one, a number two.
True.
Relied on, and so on. And then eventually was moved, the way you described it, to the Pittsburgh Penguins, and we got Mike Matheson in return, which has been great. I can't say nothing. That one season so far that we've had, Mike Matheson, has been fantastic. Now we reacquire Jeff Petrie, giving up two forwards, which now opens up two forward spots that we couldn't care less if they moved or not. We're happy they're gone. Bye. Rem Pitlick is okay. Sorry. It's, you know, it is what it is. But Hoffman, I'm cheering. He's gone. So now we got Jeff Petrie cheaper, where I think this is where maybe it's going to be a bit of a hot take and people won't like this. I hope Jeff Petrie stays until the trade deadline. I hope he does. I hope he gets to play with Marty St. Louis, puts up those numbers under Marty St. Louis, and then there's going to be one more year left at $4.6 million. Montreal could opt to retain some of that money. And if he does produce at the levels that he can produce under Martin St. Louis, then you're looking at a guy who can be moved for quite a sizable package at the trade deadline. And that same team, if they choose not to want to keep him the following year, they can then move him for a similar package. Albeit he will be a little bit older, but if his production remains the same, I don't think teams are going to care for a playoff push and having Jeff Petrie as their second right-handed defenseman.
So I'm gonna disagree with you on this one, because one, it's my personal opinion. I don't think he plays for the Canadiens again. I don't think he laces up.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I don't see that happening. I mean, Ken Hughes takes him because Pittsburgh needs to unload the contract to make it all work for Carlson coming in. I'm sure they weren't thrilled with how he played, but at the same time, if they didn't get Carlson, I don't think they would have been trying to actively shop Petrie out of there for peanuts and retaining and all the stuff that they did. So he is serviceable. I think a team will take him without question. I think now that 25% is being retained, it's a very digestible number. If the Habs have to keep a bit of back also, they have the capabilities of doing that, making his contract on a cap hit wise even more digestible. Like we mentioned before, he still puts up points. This is a guy who's definitely a top four defenseman. You probably don't want him as your 1-2, but as a 3-4, Jeff Petrie is definitely a guy who can fit in there. And while it does make sense on paper that if he did play for the Canadiens again, he would make the right side better, I do believe this. I think the numbers are there.
He'll be a first pairing right hand defenseman.
And like you mentioned, right? Like, he had promise. It was starting to show again with under St. Louis, he was playing better. I just don't see how it's going to work out again. From a family perspective, and I understand that that's a little bit of a perhaps take for some people who are like, this is hockey, too bad, get over it, whatever, play for who you're at. I get that. Now, you got to talk about, he had a no trade clause. He had a 15 team no trade clause. It has
then
to be
mentioned. If you didn't want to go to Montreal, you should have put Montreal there.
Yes. Now, I happened to hear this morning from Brian Wild on TSN 690 talking about this, who had mentioned that he had a source who told him the reason why Montreal was not on that no trade list wasn't necessarily because he purposefully left Montreal off because he was open for a return. It was that he never actually updated his no trade list. Now, he didn't know why. The underlying reason as to why he didn't update it, whether it was laziness or negligence or perhaps he really doesn't mind coming back to Montreal, we don't know the reason. But we do know that his list simply wasn't updated. The same list that he had prior is the same teams that he had going forward. So he might have also thought, like a lot of people are speculating, why would I ever go back to Montreal? Why would Montreal ever want me back? And why would any team ever try to send me back? Perhaps. But we live in a world where now he's a Montreal Canadian again. I personally don't see him icing up this season. Would I lose sleep over if he did, if he came back as a good soldier? Maybe he works something out with his family. They stay in the States and he works out some sort of, I don't know, travel or something. I don't know how it is. I know it's difficult for a lot of players when they do something like that, but maybe he says this is a means to an end. I go back to Montreal. I have better, higher minutes. I'm on a power play. I get my game back going and by trade deadline, I moved again to a team, and that's, you know, I go for a cop, and who knows, maybe in his head, this is going to be finding a silver lining to the situation. I do, however, think it is far more plausible that before the season starts, Jeff Petrie is going to find himself on another team. The Habs still might have to retain a little bit, but you cannot tell me there isn't teams out there that don't need a top four right side defenseman at, if you retain salary, somewhere in the ballpark of what? High $2 million for the season as a cap hit? That's nothing. That's nothing. I'm not looking at a Jeff Petrie blockbuster, but to your point, Vito, this is a gift that keeps on giving. You flip the guy and you got Matheson in, who signed long-term, and he looks like he's fitting. Did he sign long-term?
He's not signed long-term.
Or am I mixing that up? How long is Matheson's contract?
He's not signed long-term. Mike Matheson, well, he's got three more seasons with the one.
Three more seasons. So it was a four-year contract. I mean, it was long-term enough. And Matheson seemingly is a breath of fresh air here, and he's playing very, very well. And now you get to trade Petrie again.
He kind of looks like the way Petrie looked like before.
Right. So from a business perspective, when the dust settles, I really don't think he's going to play. Going back to DeSmith fast, I do think he stays a Hab. I don't think he gets flipped. I think if there is a goaltender that does move out of here, they're going to actively try to move Jake Allen. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know who's going to take Allen.
That, I
think the contract makes it challenging. But I think they like the idea of Monty and DeSmith as a 1-2. Very cheap, still leaves the door open in case if something happens where magically they land a top prospect goaltender and they need to sign him for long-term money. I don't know. But the goaltender situation, I think the Habs are better served using DeSmith than trading him off.
Yeah, but I don't think they're – I told you already. I don't think they're going to be able to move Jake Allen just yet. If any goaltender is being moved, it's going to be closer to the trade deadline or before the Christmas roster freeze is when I think it could happen. Mainly because that's when injuries start to play out, a goalie tweaks his groin, so on. Some goalies are out for a couple of months, whatever the case may be. And at that point, because we saw it, goalies were signing everywhere. There were so many goalies that moved at the start of the offseason that most of the teams have addressed their goaltenders.
Yeah, but bear in mind, we're still in the summer, right? This is still like mid-summer. Yeah. So like, things can happen from now until the start of preseason even. And well, if all of a sudden you need a goalie.
I would be a little bit surprised if any of our three goalies, four goalies from the one primo, get moved before the start of the season. However, I wouldn't be surprised, despite what I said about Jeff Petrie and him playing with the Montreal Canadiens, I wouldn't be surprised if he was moved. I really wouldn't. You know what? I would say even within the next 2 weeks, it wouldn't surprise me if he does get moved. Okay? But I'm just saying, if you want to maximize Jeff Petrie's value, you're probably better off holding until the trade deadline and seeing what he can do again. But at the same time, it's also a risk and it's a gamble, because if he starts to really decline, then Montreal has Jeff Petrie for another year at $4.6 million. Now, I just want to say this to the fans that are kind of against Jeff Petrie. Don't be against Jeff Petrie, who played with Dominic Ducharme or under Dominic Ducharme. Think about Jeff Petrie and everything he did for the Montreal Canadiens, if he does happen to play again for the Habs, everything that he did before the Dominic Ducharme era really kicked in.
Okay, but devil's advocate, after he moved out of here, he did have some comments he said after he moved out and everything. So are they supposed to forget about this also?
No, they're not supposed to forget about it, but it's not the first time a player goes to Pittsburgh and, you know, is under Sidney Crosby and Malkin and says, hey, this is a very, you know, there's a lot of leadership here. It's well organized. It's this, it's that. Because it's true. It is. They're under Sidney Crosby, one of the best captains of all time. Right? They were under Chris Letang. It's been the same trio of players that have literally led that team since 2004. Well, 2005. So I get it. I get what he's trying to say. It's just that we read into it saying, oh, you're bashing the Habs. And indirectly, it was at a time when a massive transition was happening. And I'm playing devil's advocate as well. For me, when I first heard those comments, I was like, good riddance. You're gone. We have Mike Matheson. We moved on. It's done.
When did you become a Jeff Petrie apologist?
I'm not. When did this happen? I'm not. I'm just saying that the timing at the time was very unique. The pandemic was there. There was family issues. His family was in the States. He was here. His wife just had given birth. There was another kid. Like, you have to look at the personal side too and say, as a human, that must have been rough. What was
and
going on?
They
there.
Accommodated a trade, and it ended up being and a now, phenomenally
but now
good trade.
All those restrictions are gone. There were that you can travel back and forth. You can do what you have to do. It could the family could stay in the States in the time being. They could figure it out. That I'm only saying that if Jeff Petrie starts the season, but it does have a little bit of a Patrice Brisebois feeling, where Patrice Brisebois, when he came back, he thought he was going to have a homecoming, so to speak. Instead, he got booed by his own fans. It wouldn't surprise me if our fans, or at least a contingent of them, were to boo Jeff Petrie.
His ass is going to get booed. If he laces up for the Canadians, he's going to get booed. Which should he? No. Again, I come back to the notion that you got to look at a guy who put 8 years onto this team, which is a long time to be with the team in today's hockey. And he was a good soldier. I mean, it ended sourly, and not necessarily because of anything in particular. Your point to the coach at the time, he didn't see eye to eye with, and now we have a different coach, so that kind of negates that. And the fact that he's a family guy. His family
why didn't,
was having
why
issues.
Didn't the Habs, why didn't the Habs boo Max Pacioretty when he moved on? And we got Nick Suzuki and all that, and he said certain comments.
They booed him?
Not really. Not to the point of heat.
They booed PK. They boo everybody. They boo everybody.
Yes, but they all got cheered for at first. You get it? And then it's like, okay, we cheered you. Thank you. We miss you. Now you're getting booed because you're on the team.
But he had that already. When he came back, I mean, bear in mind, this is now a year past a season played out. He came back. When his first game back, they gave him his little ovation. Now he's going to be on the team again, possibly. I don't think he will, but let's say he actually comes out there. When he comes out on that opening night when they all got the torch and Jeff Petrie's name is said and he walks to the ice, first off, I don't know what his face is even going to look like. Like, is he going to have a smile? Is he going to be, like, miserable? Like, it's a weird situation. And for that reason alone, even if he has all the intentions of being a good soldier and coming out and playing well, I don't like it because of all this extra off-ice crap. I just would prefer that it's just you take the asset, you flip the asset again, you get something else, and it's just the wonderful Jeff Petrie trade that just keeps on keeping on.
He's going to flip it. He's not going to keep Jeff Petrie, because you got to think about it from another angle.
And who's he bumping, by the way?
There's a lot of defensemen, young defensemen that the Montreal Canadiens have that are coming.
Yeah.
Or that are already here. And you know what?
Who's he bumping? We're not going to...
At the moment, like, what do you mean? Probably David Savard. Like, David Savard's gonna move down.
Okay, and now who does David Savard bump?
Well, it's a whole chain reaction, right?
So right? So we had gone through this lineup before, you and I, and it's
David Savard is probably gonna, in my opinion, David Savard should move down to the third pairing now, right-handed, where he should be to begin with. Max second pairing, but Justin Barron is the other right-handed defenseman. While I don't want them to move Justin Barron down, some could argue saying that they'd rather see Justin Barron in Laval playing 20, 25, almost 30 minutes a game. I would rather have Justin Barron with the Montreal Canadiens playing on the second pairing for now, eating about 18 minutes a game. And if as he progresses, then you make the judgment call there. But as it all comes down, if that's the way, Jeff Petrie becomes your first pairing right-hand defenseman with Matheson. This is the way I see it. Now you're gonna have David Savard. They're gonna have to make a choice between David Savard and Justin Barron and Kovacevic, because that's your right-handed side.
Yeah.
And Weidman is
the extra guy. Weidman is a double extra guy. Well, it's just
He
was playing very
like,
well.
Do I see him as a second pairing guy? No, I don't. He's definitely a third pairing right-handed defenseman.
He has Jeff Petrie's number.
Well, Jeff Petrie doesn't have a number. He relinquished that. It's over. It's done.
I mean, it's just, listen, now taking more of a macro look at the trade overall, coming back to it, I still am miffed by some of the fan base that I've actually gone out and seen. There's been a bunch of polls. There's been a bunch of, prominent accounts that have done, hey, what do you guys think and stuff. And people disliking the trade. I can't understand why, with the exception that they're simply circling Jeff Petrie's name and they're only remembering
the only reason
and they're just angry about it.
That's the only
this
reason.
This was objectively, put aside any kind of personal bias or hatred of a player for whatever your reasons are, this was an A-plus transaction for the Canadiens. A-plus. They got an asset back that they're going to be able to move no problem. They got another goalie who by no means is an actual, like, just throw-in. This could also be a person that they move, they could use. They have a contract that they're able to bring back a guy from Montreal to go play in Laval. These guys always seem to elevate their games a little bit. I'm not suggesting Nathan Legatier is going to end up becoming an NHLer, they needed players in Laval, so you got that too. And you got a pick in a what I've heard is a good draft in 2025, and it's a second rounder. And if Pittsburgh doesn't materialize this year, I got a feeling that in the following year where they'll wind up is going to not be so great. So that second round pick might be decent. All for what? What did they do?
Well, you know okay,
It wasn't just accommodating an Erik Karlsson trade. They got to unload a contract that nobody thought they could unload. So you got Hoffman off the books. You cleared out Rem Pitlick, who was never really going to crack the roster again here.
And
realistically,
was eating up $1.1 million.
And you add money, more money. You come in. You have a net change of I think $800,000 in salary to the team, but they're going to unload and come back down again. How could you look at this trade and say that this was bad?
The people who are not liking it is because there's Jeff Petrie's name there. If it was anybody else at that cap hit, they'd be like, okay, we got rid of Hoffman and they'd be happy. It's because there's certain people that just don't, and whether it was on Facebook chats or whatnot, they just don't like how it ended with Jeff Petrie. And they were happy that when Jeff Petrie was moved. But then, you know, you had some people that were saying, you know what, this is what I had read. I'm happy Jeff Petrie was moved to the Pittsburgh Penguins. He goes, I guess I'm going to be happy again once he gets moved again. So I won't give this an A+. I'm going to give it an A. I'll throw in the plus if and when Jeff Petrie gets moved and for what. If they're able to move Jeff Petrie without having to retain salary or retaining very minimal, then I'll say that's an A+. Even if they come out moving Jeff Petrie for a pick.
Ooh, hold on a second. You think they're going to have to throw in to move Jeff Petrie?
I didn't say throw in. What the heck said throw in? I never said throw in. I said retain salary.
No, retain salary is going to happen because that makes him a lot. No.
Whoa. I said if and when they move Jeff Petrie and they're able to move him without having to retain salary or, and they get a good return back, then I'll give it an A+. For now, I'm giving this an A.
I mean,
I'm giving this an A.
What does matter if they move him? What could it possibly matter what the return is to make this an A+?
Because if they manage to move him without retaining salary, and you open up $4.6 million a cap,
that's S tier. That's that next level. They're already A+ with this trade in my books, man. If they move him and don't retain, they could write a book about this trade.
I'm not giving it an A-. I'm giving it an A. It's a very solid A. I was very happy. When the trade happened and I got wind that Montreal was involved, Elliot Friedman was the first person to put it up, that Karlsson looks to be getting moved and Montreal might be the third team, I dropped what I was doing and I'm like, I'm just like, here, refresh.
I know we're bickering about a plus. Obviously, A is a phenomenal grade. I'm kind of surprised that you're not giving this an A+, that you're saying you have to wait until Petrie's move to decide whether it's plus.
I don't think it's done. That's why I'm not giving the A+. I want to see what that next move is.
So either it stays an A or it can get better. And your metric on that is what happens with Petrie?
No, just Petrie being moved and what the return is and what it's going to look like.
But what does it matter?
Let me give you another scenario. They move Jeff Petrie. They get some other player that now Montreal takes on cap.
But they wouldn't do that trade.
But you don't know who they're acquiring. That's what I'm saying. You don't know what that extra piece or the next step is. You can see it. Everybody can see that Kent Hughes seems to have another plan here. Because I don't think he's going to want to keep Jeff Petrie unless he's forced to. But I also don't think he minds about having Jeff Petrie up until the trade deadline.
He's going to hold on to that. And he's going to say, this is a 40-plus point defenseman who makes my right side better. I don't have to move him. You want him? Make me a deal. I don't think he's going to take a fifth back for him.
No.
But I don't see a big asset coming. Like, this isn't going to be a hockey trade.
Between you and I, I think Kent Hughes, what he really wanted on that whole trade package was two things. Just move Hoffman's contract out, and he really wanted that. The second round pick that he acquired was probably the key thing that he wanted.
He needed to take, and he needed to take contracts off of Pittsburgh so that they can make the Carlson thing work. So you take a
UFA goalie that no matter how you spin it, it could work out for the Habs, and then you know what? At the end of the season, he's gone. He's not terrible at all, right? And you take on Jeff Petrie, who was a former Hab, and you feel that you can still move him to another team. I just don't know what they're going to get back from that other team. So that's where I'm going to make the judgment whether it goes from an A to an A+. You want to give it an A+?
Great. Oh, it is. It is.
Fine.
It's an A+.
I'm giving it an A. I have no regrets on giving it an A. I just want to see the whole story unfold.
Okay. I mean, I'm kind of like, yes, I don't think it's done either. I just can't see how anything that's done with Petrie in terms of moving him could ever make this trade like less. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I know. Like, I just can't see a scenario where that's going to happen.
I'm not saying you can. I'm just saying that's like a worst case scenario. And Kent Hughes has not made bad trades where that would happen. I would just say maybe it stays as an A the entire way through.
Listen, we're bickering over whatever it ultimately ends up being.
Yeah,
5%. It's a fantastic trade.
I do want to talk about a little bit because at the end of the day, he is the big player that was in this whole thing. And we should talk about Erik Karlsson a little bit and what the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to look like with Erik Karlsson and Chris Letang as their two right-hand defensemen. And could you imagine what that power play is going to look like?
I kind of come back to this situation. Everybody's saying on paper, look at the new big four that Dubas has and oh my God, this and that. And I don't say no. You bring in a 100-point defenseman, it's wild stuff. I don't say no, and I don't think that the fans in Pittsburgh are in any way, shape, or form upset about this deal.
That said,
do I think Erik Karlsson all of a sudden makes Pittsburgh a Stanley Cup favorite? I do not. In fact, I'm not super versed with this team, to be fair, so bear with me, but I don't even think he's actually made the team that much better.
Are you nuts?
Hear me out. Erik Karlsson is basically a fourth forward on the ice at all times.
Yeah, 100-point fourth forward.
Their defense. With
Crosby, Malkin, and Gensel.
Hold on. Their defense sucks. They are not good. And now Tristan Jarry, who also bit of a rough patch throughout the season in addition to injuries, who's their backup? So now they don't have really...
Alex Nedeljkovic.
Okay.
Who had a good season 2 years ago.
Yeah. But...
Was a Vezina candidate.
Okay. Talk to me what you've done for me lately. I'm not a huge fan of their goaltending. You needed to have better defense. Dubas has clearly indicated he's not big on defense.
Hold on a second. He did add a defensive defenseman that was very good for New Jersey in Ryan Graves. So I can already see what the top four pairings are. I just don't know which order they're going to play in. Okay? But it's going to be Ryan Graves and Karlsson, in my opinion, and you're going to see Pettersson and Letang. And then after that, just, you know, throw Rue Riedel and Joseph.
It's an exciting addition. And will they ultimately be better? Yeah, probably. Last year was really bad, man. It was really bad. It was not good.
They were literally a point away from making the playoffs.
I'm not saying it was really bad because they missed the playoffs. I'm saying it was just really bad in general. Pittsburgh was not a great team last year.
No, they weren't.
It's going to be cool. It's fun to see. And the most important thing I take away from this situation is, again, Kyle Dubas goes here. He has a new big four. And I like to compare the big four of the two. And which would you prefer? Do you like the big four of Toronto more than you like the big four of Pittsburgh? Of course I can. I'm doing it right now. Which would you prefer?
All right. if I'm you're putting me on the spot here,
and put your Sidney Crosby bias away.
I'm gonna put my Sidney Crosby bias away to a certain degree, and this is what let me explain myself here. If I had to build a team for the next few years because of youth, then you go with Toronto. They're younger than the Pittsburgh Penguins. But if you give me a Stanley Cup run because Sidney Crosby and Malkin and Letang are there and they've gone through it, I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Penguins. Okay? If you're building a team to say, okay, who's once they get into the playoffs, who do I have a better chance with? It's been proven it's the Pittsburgh Penguins. So the proof is in the pudding there. Toronto finally got to the second round and just lost. So I'm not impressed yet. Now, they made change. Toronto has made changes too. The difference with Pittsburgh last year and this year is that there's new administration. They're not going out to sign Michael Granlund like they did, which good for Dubas to moving on, being able to move that contract. Because holy crap, when that was signed, I was like, what are they thinking? Why would Pittsburgh need that? And he managed to move it and got Eric Karlsson in the fold. So that's why I think they're a lot better, because they got Eric Karlsson. So when you look at the, you have to look at it this way. Let's go player by player, compare player by player. Would I rather have today Crosby or Austin Matthews for the whole season and a playoff push? Not the future because he's younger. Really today. My answer is Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, we're talking today. Because it doesn't matter what's happening. If they win a cup in this upcoming season, it doesn't matter if they don't win a cup for the next 5 years. They won the cup. Yeah.
Would I rather have Malkin versus Malkin or Tavares? I'm going to take Malkin if he doesn't get hurt. Today. Okay. Would I rather have Jake Guentzel or Mitch Marner? Mitch Marner, 100%. Mitch Marner, 100%. Now, what you really got to do is take Karlsson. Why are you looking all weird?
Well, because in my view, the big four in Pittsburgh is not Jake Guentzel. It's Chris Letang. They have two defensemen in their big four. It's Chris Letang and it's Karlsson and Malkin and Crosby, not Guentzel.
Well, I know, because I take Guentzel over Letang, though.
Okay, I disagree.
And I think Karlsson pushes Letang down.
Well, it just Karlsson has hit 100. Frees up Letang to do more, in my opinion.
Yeah, but Karlsson has hit 100 points.
Mark it to today, August 7th, Karlsson doesn't get close to 100 points next season.
Well, it's not easy for a defenseman to get 100 points, but my point is that
he doesn't get close to 100.
No, he's going to be a point a game. I say he's going to be point a game.
I think he will cap out in the low 80s. I don't think he even breaches 90. Okay.
That's still
great. It's great, but people are like, you acquired a 100-point player. Like, he's done it every year of his career.
He did it once. And it just happened to be last season, and he did it once. But Karlsson has always put up more numbers, higher numbers than Letang. Letang has had trouble staying healthy. You know,
okay, so Guentzel, so martyred against Guentzel for sure, and then you have
then it's Karlsson to Morgan Riley,
yeah,
or there's Nylander if you want to throw that in there for sure.
I don't even know if Nylander's going to start the season in Toronto. It's a weird situation with that. Too,
if you're going to compare defenseman for defenseman, I'm going to take Karlsson over Morgan Riley. You know,
I agree with you. I agree with you. But I think Pittsburgh's got the better big four. Chop it up,
yes, they got the better four throughout the whole season and playoffs. But if I had to pick a team for the next 5 years, then I'd be
retired. That's a silly way to look at it. You look at the team that's being iced next year, whose team would you prefer to have, however that makes sense.
But with that being said, there's question marks on both teams. Goaltending is a question mark on both teams. There's no two ways about it. Defense is a question mark on both teams. You know, so do I think that maybe there's a bit more stability in Toronto's defense with TJ Brody being there? Maybe, but I mean, we don't even know what John Klingberg is going to do in Toronto. We don't know how much he's going to move that needle for them. I could tell you this: I could tell you this, that Morgan Riley and John Klingberg are not better than Erik Karlsson and Chris Letang.
No.
They're not.
Well, listen, Pittsburgh right now is in my opinion, obviously on paper, a better team. Everybody stays healthy. So that's easy. It's just, I don't know. Fundamentally, the one thing that I guess I want to finish talking about fast, because we talked about from the Montreal's perspective and we talked about from Pittsburgh's perspective, what the hell is going on in San Jose? I know you want to rebuild, but I mean, I read a comment just the other day that their GM said that they were trying to be in on Tarasenko. They didn't get it. And now they feel that Mike Hoffman's going to fill the void of what Tarasenko could have brought.
They might as well.
Does the West Coast not have TV? Do they not know what's going on? I don't understand how he could possibly come out and say that. But
listen, when I look at the San Jose roster, okay, in the next 2 years, there's a lot of money that's coming off the books. And they're going to have to sign players and decide who they're going to keep and whatnot, because, you know, you have to isolate a team. But there's a lot of money coming off the books. And when you're a rebuilding team, that's money that you want off the books. But they also have some big contracts in Logan Couture, Vlasic. You're not moving that contract forever. I don't want to open Pandora's box
of what's going on in San Jose. Just to say that when you look at this trade, while we might debate A and A plus for Montreal, and Pittsburgh can come out and say this was whatever, high B and A also, possibly A plus on their end, because they actually somehow managed to clear cap and get Karlsson, which is crazy. San Jose, you guys are on a different planet, is all I know. But
I think they should have, when they got that first round pick, because that's what they didn't mean to trade for. They wanted that first round pick, right? And to move Carlson's contract because it was too long for them. But with that being said, that first round pick from Pittsburgh, they probably should have tried gambling for the 2025, but not 2024.
It's a wild, wild situation. It's a crazy trade. I love that it happened in August because it gives us a little bit of hockey to inject into us for the dog days of summer now. But listen, we'd be very curious to hear. I mean, everybody has a take about this. What do you feel about the Canadians in particular and how they made out from the trade? Are you happy? Are you one of those that said, no, now that Jeff Petrie's name is in the mix, however long he might be here, this was bad? We'd love to know why you would say that and where your thinking is. And what grade would you give it? I give it A+. Vito gives it an A. Where do you think that this falls? Let us know in the comments, you can add us on Twitter or on X, Twitter, whatever, still getting used to that, or on YouTube in the comment section. If you haven't already, though, also consider please liking, subscribing. Always helps us with the algorithm. You guys know the whole drill about that. We really appreciate everybody who takes the time to do that. And so this was pushed off our episode that we were going to have this week, talking about a whole bunch of other things. So keep an eye out for when we're going to be releasing that one. Again, we're on summer schedule, so probably not next week. Look for it the following, but keep an eye out on our socials. You'll see when we're going to post. We'll let everybody know from there. So for that, thank you so much, Hockey in August. And for Vito, I'm Matt, and this was
Get Pucked.